But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise Guys Morning Show.
The Rise Guys. This is the Rise Guys.
Just laugh my ass off every morning. I mean, it's just so funny.
The Rise Guys!
The Rise Guys Morning Show.
There it is. There it is. And there he is. Ladies and gentlemen, the axe. The pride of Asheville, North Carolina.
Ooh.
And as I said earlier, the one of the nicest mustaches I've seen in person.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it is.
I wish you'd tell my wife that.
Listen, Mrs. Harwood, she knows. She knows. Dax Harwood, we've been in here talking for a few minutes, but how are you?
I'm okay. You called me the pride of Asheville. I feel sorry for Asheville if that's the case.
Oh, well, look, what y'all have, and when I say you, I'm talking about, by the way, love you, Cash Wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
Love you, Cash Wheeler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love you, Cash Wheeler.
That's our boy.
What y'all did with the last several days, and I know not all the... And you know what? This is what I love. I know I saw the check presentations on the show. You're not yourself, like, pushing it out there, though. Like, you're like, this is what it is, and this is what it's going to do. This is our town. Because of all the stuff with Helene. I mean, those in this area, those of you in Tennessee, Georgia, I mean, you know how bad Western North Carolina got hit. And these guys, FTR, they, from my understanding, went to the head boss and said, what can we do with Fight for the Fallen to help out people in Western North Carolina?
Yeah, I think our biggest issue going into this was we don't want people to think that we're only doing this for PR, for publicity. You know,
right?
That was our number one goal, was to make sure that wasn't the case. So we didn't want to push it too hard, you know, initially. But then you realize that the more we do, you know, have a great social media presence, and we do have a voice. So the more you do push, you have to put on your, I don't want to say celebrity, because that's not what
your marketing hat.
Yeah. And then say, okay, we do have to push it out there to get more focus on, to raise awareness, to raise, you know, some money. So initially we didn't want to do too much, but then we were like, you know what, let's just help out as much as we can. And it was Tony actually that came to us more so than us going to Tony. He wanted to help, and he did a lot of things for Asheville. AEW did a lot of things for Asheville. And I was so proud to be working for a company that helped out so much.
There's not, I mean, look, there's the obvious here, but there's no other wrestling company with that kind of a success level that would stop and do. I mean, they just wouldn't. There might be a national thing, and that's not to take away with the things for the troops over the years, but that, I mean, that there's been already in the, 5 years of AEW, all these Fight for the Fallens, all these different charitable aspects, all these different T-shirts that are sold to give profits. I know I freaking didn't get one of y'all's. If you got one left, I want one.
Okay.
The FTR for the Helene thing. It's that's one thing we've always said. Like, not that we're, I'm not going to get into another CM Punk situation where we had a little war of words in here one day. Which I still don't know if I got worked or not, but necessarily, the point with all that is you have your voice to do good things, and there's going to be the people out there say, oh, you're just using this, but those people are going to be a-holes regardless. They're going, if they don't say it about your thing, they're going to say it about this thing. There's I saw this on something you mentioned, Tony Khan. I forget what tragedy it was a while back, but it was. a wrestler from another company that had a bad situation, and Tony donated like $10,000.
Oh yeah,
and it was reported on it. And people were like, well, why did he put his name on there? He should have just put a note. And it's like, because
can't make anybody happy.
Sometimes you go to see that guy who's one of the busiest men in the world and also does quite well. It took the time out to himself do that. That might inspire others to do the same. That's what it takes sometimes.
Yeah, but sometimes, I mean, you can't blame the people because they're so used to corporations and big businesses. Yeah. Always the number, you know, first before helping, it is the PR. It is like we want to make sure our company looks good. We want to make sure that I look good, you know, and the people in charge look good. I mean, obviously I'm going to say this because I work for the man, but I don't think that's Tony. I think he thinks about other people first. I mean,
it's
easy to say that when you got $12 billion in the bank, but
he's selfless.
I mean, yeah, yeah. But you know, he called me and Adam and he said, he didn't tweet it out. He called us and said, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
You know? And Adam said, well, we have, you know, one of the very first things that he did, and no one knew about it, he didn't want us to ever make mention of it, was we had Elon Musk had sent a ton of large Starlinks to Asheville.
Oh, yeah.
And that helped us with cell phone service and things like that. But the thing was, you can't take those large Starlinks into the woods or on top of the mountain.
Yeah.
So there were people that were stuck at the top of a mountain who didn't have any cell service at all. People didn't know if their loved ones were alive or dead. So Adam told Tony, well, we need smaller Starlinks. So Tony sent thousands. He bought and sent thousands of smaller Starlinks to Asheville
so they could take them
into the woods and to the top of the mountain so that people could finally get cell service to reach their loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, and then on top of that, you know, the show that we had this Wednesday in Asheville, Dynamite, he donated $100,000 to beloved Asheville, Mana Food Bank, Dream Center, and World's Kitchen.
Yeah.
And you know, he doesn't have to do that.
Nope.
Yeah. And then this first show, the biggest show, the biggest Dynamite in the history of our company.
Yeah.
You know, started our brand new TV rights deal, simulcasted on TBS and Max, and he could have taken the show to any big city in the world. It would have sounded so great to say the first ever mother of all simulcasts in Los Angeles, California, or New York City, you know,
Chicago,
Illinois. Yeah. It could, that would have sounded great. And initially the plan was to go to one of the big cities, but Cash, myself and Adam were talking in our wrestling school and we said, what can we do to help Asheville? And initially our plan was just to have a live event, a house show, you know, whatever, where there's no TV cameras, bring in some of the AEW stars and whatever money we made, just donate it to a charity.
Right.
And Tony said, well, why don't we just bring Dynamite to Asheville and have a live television show? That way it can raise not just money, but awareness.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully bring some, you know, some joy to people who haven't had a lot of joy in the last few months.
No.
So it feels very, very fortunate that I get to work for a man who's so selfless.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, it is. And I definitely don't want anybody to think I was saying the fact that he did put his name on there would be inspirational to other people.
Yeah.
Because when you're seeing donations and you see anonymous, those are usually people who are like, I'll donate this. I don't need the. But when you see a big name on there, you're almost expecting to, especially if it's a wrestling situation. You're like, some of the boys helping out.
Yeah, and, exactly.
And the way, especially in both of y'all, how you maybe all three of you got together and did that the GoFundMe thing that like took off.
Huge.
That was all Cash's idea. Cash was planning just to raise $5,000 for like a local business in Old Fort, and it reached $72,000.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, and so there's some kind of issue with GoFundMe where you can't just take the money for yourself and then go donate it to different businesses, different small businesses.
Right.
You have to donate to one big charity, and so all the small businesses in Old Fort, they had come together to make their own GoFundMe. you know? Okay. And so he donated all that money to that one GoFundMe so it can be distributed to the
different
things.
Yeah, so it's funneled out to the right channel.
Yeah, so, you know, selflessness breeds selfless. Selflessness. And Tony is a selfless guy. And Tony, if you're listening, if you're selfless enough, you can give me a bump and raise.
I said that earlier. The way you've been doing so much press here lately, from what I've heard, I was like, man, you gotta pay the man what he's... I mean, you guys, I could sit here and, you know, blank your blank all day and tell you how.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, not like that.
It's too early in the morning.
I just mean, you know, we got to go to break there. You're here. You good for a little while, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll come back. We're going to talk, of course, some wrestling. And we didn't even mention this yet. We are live streaming this on video, right, Fatboy?
Well, we're recording right now.
Oh, okay.
Now,
so you'll be able to see this later.
Watch it later, yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. It is The Rise, guys. Dash Harwood.
Wrong name, dude.
Come God, Dax Harwood. I'm going to show you right now. I wrote down a note.
I might not be here now. I might just take off, actually.
I was messing with him earlier, so you're going to slip up just a little?
Well, I go back and forth because I don't want to break things.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Yeah. Oh, man. Somehow, some way, I always end up putting my foot in my mouth. Like, I know wrestling inside and out, and then I end up, I'm pulling the Schiavone here and calling the wrong name.
You morphed it into one name. That's okay.
I love Tony Schiavone. Damn it, somebody asked me the other day, he's like, what is one of your dream wrestling interviews? And I thought about it forever. I got Dustin Runnels on there for sure, the top of the list. I had the pleasure to interview many, but my God, I want to talk to Tony Schiavone.
Oh, yeah, he's hilarious.
I want to talk to Tony Schiavone.
I don't know if there's enough censor buttons in this studio for him, though.
He always looks so pissed, but he's just
no,
like...
No, because he always is.
Oh, is he?
He's always mad.
Okay. More with, is it Dax? Dax?
Oh, man.
Oh, dude, strike two.
Come on, man.
He's going to walk out.
Hey, look, it's all in good fun. Look at what I brought to give you today. I know. That's a beautiful picture. Gross. All right. It is The Rise, guys. Making friends today. It's The Rise, guys. Morning, everybody.
Wake up! This is The Rise, guys. Morning show.
Like when they bicker back and forth, that's a trip. I love to hear them argue.
The Rise, guys. The Rise, guys.
No, see? What do you think?
I think it's all right. It's not my music. It's not great like my music, but
no, it's not great like your music. But what did you think when you heard this?
Oh, I didn't even realize what it was. I thought this was just stock music. And I was like, all right, well, are we comparing?
That's how Fat Boy is like. Don't do it. You play the actual FTR theme at the beginning, but then the second, what we call a rejoin, this song. I was like, will you play the Pointer Sisters?
So
great.
You know. Going back to my song, and it'll tie to this song.
Yeah,
for the Dynamite theme song, when Tony called us in his office, this was 2021, and he said, "I have new theme music. I want you to hear." And I can't remember. I was doing something, but Cash went to the office first, and he played it for Cash, and Cash sent me a text. He said, "Dude, I don't know about this music." I walked in, and Tony was like, "Oh, you got to hear it." So he hits play. Tony hits play, and he starts dancing around in his office because he loves the music.
Yeah.
And I heard it, and, you know, we had heard, our music had always been Southern rock, you know, and I heard it and I knew it was an homage to the greatest tag team of all time, Midnight Express.
Right.
But I was like, oh my gosh, this is not us. I can't even imagine myself walking out to this music.
Yeah.
Now it's part of us.
Right.
So that goes back to the Pointer Sisters. Now the theme song for Dynamite.
Yeah.
You know, you hear that and you're like, for a wrestling show, you know? And then, so I told my wife, we were talking yesterday, I said, did you hear the Dynamite theme song when you were in the building? She said, yes, I loved it. I thought that was awesome. And my wife doesn't watch wrestling. She doesn't know anything about wrestling. But so that appeals to the outside wrestling fan.
Oh, for sure.
So
same way with Elton John on Saturday night.
Oh, I love that. That was a good choice.
Oh, I love that song. Cool. But so, you know, a wrestling fan is going to watch for the wrestling. They're not going to watch for the theme song. But if an outside person turns on the TV and that's playing, and there's, you know, grown men in underwear beating, you know, other grown men in underwear.
Who doesn't love that?
Yeah, exactly. And the Pointer Sisters is playing. You're like, let me see what this is about.
I recognize this song because I didn't watch it till the next day. So I watched it on Thursday. And I was like, God, I recognize this song. And then I was like, Tony's like, that's what, rather than go create your own, he's like, that's a hit. Let's just go option this or whatever. He's done that for other wrestlers, yeah, you know, with the theme songs and stuff.
But the FTR music, man, that's like an 80s but action.
It's from the actual Midnight Express movie. That was the score from the movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the actual, so don't sue us.
No, but
for copyright infringement.
Midnight Express used the original
one. Yes.
And then it's a derivative of, almost like the Death Riders, it sounds like the beginning of the Shining theme.
Oh, I never thought about that.
That's like, they're going for that Shining theme now.
I watched that movie a couple of weeks ago.
That movie. Is it not the scariest?
It is terrifying, the bathroom scene.
Yes. Well, you know, Jack Nicholson, that it may be the greatest performance in cinematic history.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? It was right up there with Heath Ledger, Joker.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
So many levels to that movie, too. So, I mean, just the different deep meanings and all that stuff. Yeah.
And then hearing about, what was it, Susan Duvall? Is that her name?
Shelley Duvall.
Hearing how, you know, the director
tormented her.
Just to get the reaction and stuff out of her. Yeah.
Well, the director is Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Who you may know from Clockwork Orange. The moon landing.
The moon landing. You can't. You're gonna get the CIA is gonna come in here in a second.
Oh, that's Lord. I mean, what do you think about that? Like, did it ever cross your mind, or when it did it, or has it ever that? God, maybe that is just footage.
I've thought more about it recently than I ever have in my life, because obviously that was way before my time.
Sure.
But you know, I could see it being fake more than I could see it being real.
Because we haven't been back, really.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's so many other theories about it, and like, why are the shadows this way and that way? I don't look that deep into it.
Had the camera get there to watch them land?
Right.
How did that vehicle fit in that little shuttle?
Yeah, and then you know, I guess going through the pressure, whatever. Yeah. Like, I don't look that deep into it, but I do look into the fact that that was 1962, something like that, and now it's 2025, and we're not sending anybody there now.
Right.
So that, to me, is like, oh, maybe there's something to this.
Something just doesn't. But I think that, so in my mind, I think that because it was a literal pissing contest with Russia to get there first, I think if we just said we did it and didn't have any footage, no one would believe it. So they had the footage done.
Yeah.
I don't know that footage can even, I don't know. Paige rolls her eyes when I talk like
this. It was sent live, right? It was
beamed to Australia, who then beamed it. So it was not an exact time. And that's where people say, why was it so grainy? Well, they had to film it off of a screen. So it'd be the essential of being at a concert. You got crappy seats, so you're filming the screen the whole time.
Right.
One step for mankind. I mean, it just sounded like a script.
Hey, I mean,
so many questions.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got that long drive up to the moon, you're like, God, what am I going to say when I get up?
Right.
I need
this
to know
better
what I'm
be good.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing, from a guy who lives his daily life being told what he does is fake, just like Buzz Aldrin. I guess that's who it was, right? Buzz Aldrin.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Punch that guy.
But for me, my response to I told my daughter this the other day, because she said, well, my cousin said that wrestling's fake. And so my response to all this fake talk is, well, the direct deposit isn't fake every 2 weeks. So I'm sure that's what Buzz says as well. You know,
well, I know this from talking. We're joined by Dax Harwood right now, one half of FTR, the greatest living tag team in the world. You know, we've talked about your history, and we were talking the other day about, you know, I feel like the boys of the past looked down on what you would call a wrestling mark, but then the generation of today's greatest crop of wrestlers were marks, because that's what got them into it. And it's kind of like, it's not a demeaning kind of thing now. When you were watching it growing up, when did you find out? Because I don't know if you heard earlier, I told the story, and my dad busted my ball so hard about it. Because I almost cried the time Chaska Watley cut off Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant's ponytail.
Wow. Yeah.
And my dad laughed and said, you know, it's fake, don't you, Matthew? And I was like, oh, okay. We're going to church tomorrow morning, huh?
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Wow.
Ah.
Well, take two.
I believe in God, but I was just saying, in that manner, I was like, hey, you know. Why you want to crush my dreams like that?
Well, that sucks. Your dad did that to you.
I know. Wait, it scarred me for years.
Let's get some trauma dump at 8:30 in the morning.
Look, that's right up there with you. P.S. losing his ponytail on the plane ride from hell.
Oh, it's gone.
Oh, that makes me happy, actually. But when I found out, I don't know. I think some part of me always knew, but I didn't want to know.
Right.
I wanted to suspend my disbelief. Yeah. You know, I remember sitting in the living room, and I remember it was Lex Luger versus Hulk Hogan for the WCW belt on Nitro. And I remember Luger had Hogan in the torture rack, and Hogan submitted, and I was jumping up and down, screaming in my living room.
Yeah.
And my dad and his friend were at the house, and they were drinking. And my dad's friend says, as I'm screaming and jumping for joy, he says, he knows this is all fake, right? And I don't remember what my dad says, but I just remember that moment he said that. And I was like, well, I know it's not. I know it's not all real, but I love these guys and I love this.
Right.
And so I want to pretend it's real. And I, you know, I also, this sounds very weird, but as a kid too, at the same time frame, my favorite movie, and it still is, my favorite movie of all time is The Exorcist. But, you know, I knew in that moment, I knew that, you know, they weren't exercising a 12-year-old girl. I knew in the moment, but I wanted to believe for those 2 hours.
Yeah.
And that's all. I wanted to believe, you know, and people who say it's fake, it does annoy me. Not as much as you used to, but it does annoy me because the fact is when I get off of the plane and drive home, when I go through the door in my house, it's not so fake that I can't bend down and play with my daughter. You know, that's not the fake part.
Right.
A torn bicep currently right now, a torn right bicep that I got replaced or repaired. I've had two knee surgeries, major knee surgeries, and the right knee only. Left knee, I've had a major knee surgery as well. I got a torn labrum from my hip to my groin. I got a torn labrum in my shoulder. And all those aren't fake. You know, so it is hard to hear, but also it's like when the funniest part is people come up to me now and, you know, if eventually I go into the direct deposit line, but they say, all that stuff, it's not real, right? And I'm like, you're right, it's not real. And then they say, well, it all can't be fake. Come on, there's something about it's real. And it's like, well, there's no answer to right. to make you happy.
The pageantry of it, man. The first Nitro where Luger shows up in Mall of America.
Yeah, but you know, wrestling is all about emotion. It's storytelling. It's an art form.
Yeah.
And I think somehow, some way, pro wrestlers have gotten away from that a little bit because they prioritize the fancy moves and being athletically pleasing. And I think that's what's also happened to like things like NBA as well. You know, for me, and this was, you know, a direct line to the main event of Dynamite this Wednesday night with Rated FTR versus the Death Riders.
Yeah.
If you watch that match back, dude, there aren't very many beautiful moves, you know, but it's all about emotion. And that's it is you make people feel a certain way about you. And, you know, we can't put the genie back in the bottle and say, well, it is all real. Everything you see is 100% real. But what we can do, if I can make a person for just half a second say, oh, yeah, oh, this is all that phony stuff. If I can make them half a second get excited about the possibility of the feeling they have is real, then I got them. And that's what it is. Just for half a second, I want you to believe in me. You don't have to believe what I'm doing is you know, you can think it's all phony, but just believe in me for half a second. That's all I'm asking.
I always think of that guy that's crying and says, it's real to me, damn it.
Oh, that happened at Spartanburg Memorial
Brother,
Auditorium.
He thinks he's over.
That guy gets bookings now, I think.
Yeah, he thinks it's Stone Cold, Hogan, Rock, Cena, and himself.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to tell him. You got to tell him the tagline that you came up with earlier.
Why not next applicable. Year a special edition Christmas shirt and it's you and you and Cash are wearing kind of dirty bathrobes and you're holding some kind of hose and you say, shatter's full.
Oh, wow.
Or you can call for it that way during the match. Shatter's full!
See, Steve-On gets tables.
Right, yeah.
I don't... How do you feel about the Dudley Boys? Do you like them? Do you look to them as any kind of...
So I think there's a place in history for them.
I love your honesty, by the way. I really, really do.
I think they're one of the greatest tag teams of all time. I do believe that. I think Devon is a great human being.
Absolutely.
I've only met Bully a handful of times, and or Bubba, whatever, a handful of times. I don't think he's a big fan of ours. And we were on his radio show one time, and I had just tweeted out recently to that. It's so funny to me because he had said something about us derogatory, what I would perceive to be derogatory.
Yeah.
About me and Cash. And then I tweeted out, it's so funny to me that everybody from the Attitude Era hates us, .. except for the one that made the most money, which was Stone Cold Steve Austin. One of his favorite tag teams. And Bully said, well, on his radio show, he said, before you leave, you said this on Twitter. I was just wondering what Attitude Era star you were talking about. And I said, well, I was talking about you. You know, I was like, that was you. That was you that said that to me about us. And I think he has his idea of what the Dudley Boys are, and he has the idea that the Dudley Boys are the greatest tag team of all time, which is very valid. I have an idea that FTR is the greatest tag team of all time, and I think that's very valid as well. Yeah. And I think there is obviously a common respect for each other, but in the same vein, I'm not going to back down from us being the greatest tag team of all time. He's not going to back down from it either. And, emotion makes for good matches. So maybe down the line there is an FTR Dudley Boys match. Maybe there's a universe that there's an FTR Dudley Boys match. Yeah. But they're fun. They're not FTR, but they're fun.
Yeah. I was just thinking we were talking about Devon the other day. Years ago. God, what a very warm human being. But then been around Bubba and complete opposite. Like absolutely complete opposite.
I think he wears that as a badge of honor though, because that's kind of the MO for all of them. And I think a lot of the wrestlers feel the same way.
Yeah.
Not that they hate Bubba, but it's just that Devon is the nicest human being. You know, he's so sweet, so personable. He can be very vitriol, if that's the right way to say it, commonplace everyday life. He is so sweet.
Do you can you hang out one more segment?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, because I want to tell you something that I, as a 30 plus year wrestling fan, do not understand and don't like, and I want you, and I know, but you agree with it, and this isn't going to be like I just want you to explain it to me.
Okay.
And I am the most pro wrestling fan, not pro, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I love it, but it's something that I need one of the boys to explain to me.
Oh, this is the segment you're going to get me in trouble. I live for trouble.
I worry sometimes about something, and I think that it makes sense, but I just need it explained to me. And I'll tell you off the air so you don't think it's like a target kind of thing.
No, I'll lead. I think you should wait.
Okay.
Oh, look at that.
Oh. Yeah. Will we come to fisticuffs right after this? Will he?
I bet our PR guy, Danny Kirsch, is pooping his pants right now.
Danny?
He's worried. He's like, oh, God, what's Dax going to say now?
No, it's just a wrestling fan question, a Mark question that a lot of people maybe have wondered. And I worry about it. So, yeah, that was a good tease. Okay. That's how you do good teasing and communicating right there.
Right. It's called a cliffhanger.
All right. We're going to Shatter Machine Fat Boy right after this, right?
Oh, good luck.
Only if I get paid.
Morning, everybody.
Miss something? Download the free podcast at theriseguys.com.
Everything you need.
This is
The Rise Guys Morning Show.
You're listening to The Rise Guys Morning Show.
I love The Rise Guys.
What a treat this has been on a Friday too. And by the way, let us not forget that there's going to be live wrestling tomorrow night in Charlotte.
Oh yeah, yeah. We haven't even talked about that. That's the whole reason I'm here.
Well, I thought you just came to see us.
No, I didn't wake up at 6 this morning to come see you. Maybe to come see Paige, but not you guys.
She draws them out.
Bojangles Coliseum this tomorrow night. Actually, the main event is myself, Cash Wheeler, and Adam Copeland, formerly Edge, rated FTR, and we are taking on Chris Jericho, Brian Keith, and 7 foot Big Bill in the big main event. First time
seven feet tall,
and you can't teach that.
No,
but
yes, sir.
First time in like 15 years that Jericho and Cope are gonna share the ring. You know,
Royal Rumble 2010.
Yeah. The WrestleMania 2010 as well, maybe? Or no, 2009. So I don't remember. 26, I think.
That's a great building for wrestling.
It is. Bojangles, it's one of the last good old school, like, 70s style buildings that the echo and everything's perfect. Like, we saw Marilyn Manson there one time, and it was like just the what is the word I'm looking for? I should know. Acoustics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when the mat is hit, you hear that. It sounds real.
What's
good.
The other Coliseum in Charlotte called? Do we know? Is there one more?
Well,
I thought there was a newer one.
Spectrum Center.
Yeah. I like the Bojangles much better than the Spectrum.
It looks like what this like inside of it looks like. The 70s. I mean, it just has that charm to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing that I don't understand, and I want you to explain it to me, and I just worry about the boys and really everybody. So I believe it was Bret Hart's Hall of Fame induction where
someone
jumped the rail or into the ring. And I remember...
Hart Foundation Hall of Fame induction.
Yes. You and Cash, I don't remember exactly because they cut away from it or whatever, but there's that rule, and it seemed like the old school legends really loved it. But when a fan would jump the rail and into the ring, I always heard, and this is just speculation from other fans, that it was always the referee's job to try to take down the person, and that may or may not be true. But then it seemed like some of the boys would love the fact that they could openly beat the hell out of somebody too without maybe getting in trouble. But you don't see it near as much now, and I often wondered, I get it, like you're there and there's all these people, especially now in today's society where you're always looking over your shoulder, you don't know what's going to happen, but somebody jumps through it. What if it's someone who is mentally challenged, whatever the I'm saying that with grace and you know, not any kind of disparaging way, but wonder what happens then, and what is the edict that is laid out could be shared?
2025 is a whole different world than 1970 or 1980.
Yeah, I'll say
a whole different world.
Yeah.
Back then you got away with a lot more stuff than you can get away with now. Mm-hmm. Even just your beliefs. You know?
Yeah.
So in 2025. If there were someone to hop the rail and they happened to be, you know, the mental capacity wasn't, you know, what mine would be or yours would
sure.
be, it would be treated the exact same way it is told to be treated for anybody. Yeah. I mean, we are.
'Cause you don't know.
Yeah. We are. I don't want to say this to sound like I'm bragging or patting myself on the back, but I have millions of dollars riding on the line if someone jumps the rail.
Absolutely. You know,
in more ways than one.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is I don't want to have to hit someone
right.
who could sue me and take all my money away from Finley and Maria, my wife and daughter.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a ton of, we're told to let the security guards do their job and take care of them. And the security guards are trained. They have one director of the security guards, and he trains and, you know, takes care of all the other security guards, and they know how to enforce the rules and you know, what line to stop at.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, if someone jumps over the rail and they somehow get past security and I'm in the ring, the very first thing I'm going to do is have to go after them.
Yeah.
Because for the safety of myself and, you know, the thousands of people, and, you know, you have no idea what they're going to do.
Sure.
You know, they could walk in there and pull out a gun or a knife or,
yeah.
or whatever. So I'm going to try to, you know, take them down and at least handle them. But it's not, you know, I don't get any, you know, it's not like a thing that I get off on is, like, oh, I get to beat up somebody, especially now, you know, I told you all the list of injuries I've had. Throwing a punch is not in the bingo cards for me right now because it would hurt.
But you talk about the refs stopping him. I mean, God rest his soul. I don't know if Timmy White was going to be able to stop anybody that was going to come in.
Right. I would imagine, especially back in the 70s and 80s, I don't think they would tell the referee to stop because it would make the wrestlers look less than.
You know what? Good point. If Tommy Young stopped the Road Warriors from getting, attacked or something.
Is Nick Patrick going to stop anybody from, you know, coming in?
Right. I would imagine like someone like Cowboy Bill Watts said, yeah, beat the hell out of him.
Oh, you know,
and then or Ole would have said that too, I feel like.
Yeah, but it's a whole different world now, man. With, you know, the advent of the cell phones and iPhones and social media and stuff, like anything you do that can be deemed even like a percentage of deemed controversial, it's going to be leaked out. You're going to be, you know, in the crosshairs of all media. So
yeah,
my thought is just why not? Just don't do it. Just not why not? Why do it? There we go. You know what I mean? Like, it's just way too much money riding on the line.
And we live in a world now where, you know, companies, like I've told this story a couple of years ago. I was checking out at a store and I was like, hey, the person over there is shoplifting. I just want to let you know. I'm paying for my stuff, but I want to let you know. And she's like, oh, you know, they tell us that we can't stop them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, well, why am I paying for this? Why don't I just walk that way? It sets a weird precedent.
Yeah.
All right. Tomorrow night, Bojangles Arena, you're going to get to see Rated FTR, which
that's perfect.
That's another thing that I love, the whether it be for a few weeks or whatever, I love the different entanglements of the way that works. Like I was going to say, I didn't want our boss to see it, but I wanted to start a trend on Twitter or X where it said FTRG, because we're the Rise Guys TRG and you're FTR.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cute, but then people might think I was talking crap about them on the show.
Yeah,
because it was FTRG. So
yeah,
it didn't work out in that regard. But man, we've talked to a bunch of them and a bunch of the boys and girls over the years, and you are the most like honest. And I'm not that the others were lying, but like you don't scoff at any of the stuff, and you say you speak your piece, and that goes a long way.
Well, I appreciate that. That also goes a long way in the locker room, but on the opposite end, because I get in trouble quite a bit. Well, not in trouble, but there, you know.
Are you looking at as the leader in the locker room?
I would never. If I am, I would never come out and say I'm the leader.
Yeah.
You know, I would never, ever, ever do that.
Who is the leader, would you say?
Oh, my gosh. Who would I say is the leader?
Who's running the kangaroo court?
Is it Jack Perry?
Samoa Joe probably would be looked at as leader.
Yeah.
You know, he's a guy that a lot of people respect. Brian Danielson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then obviously you got guys like Jericho and Adam Copeland. And
what about Jarrett? Does he look that?
But he, you know, he has a couple of different hats in AEW. He's also the marketing guy for the live, like a marketing guy for live events, not just a wrestler. You know, he does a lot of things for the company.
Well, so he's got a little history with that, doesn't he?
Right. Yes. But so he doesn't really like hang out with the boys as much as far as like hanging out in the locker room and getting dressed and stuff, because he's always doing other things for the company. Yeah. So I, you know, not in a disparaging way, I wouldn't say he's a leader, you know, for the locker room.
Yeah.
But he's definitely a leader for the company. Yeah. You know, Tony Khan believes in him and trusts him. So it's a totally different thing.
I believe in AEW. I know that's got to be such a hard thing to do when you've got such a huge roster of people. Mm-hmm. I like the entanglement of ROH and how that works too. I'm pleased as punch to have you in here, and your candidness is very respected.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean this, and I told you this off there, and you were talking about, you know, when you first met your wife, keep that, fight for that, because you've said it yourself, but you love your family so much, and it shows so much, and that goes so far more than any kind of tag team belts and all that stuff.
Yeah, I would give every bit of what I've done in my career up for my family. And the crazy part is wrestling fans, well, they're, you know, I don't want to say wrestling fans, I want to say social media wrestling fans, they give me such a hard time about it because I talk about my wife and daughter. But, you know, at the end of the day, when I'm gone, I'm dead and gone, and I would imagine that I'm going to die way before my wife does, but when I'm dead and gone, they're going to be able to look back at the things I said on Twitter or the things that I said on national television and say, oh, my husband or my dad said that about me because he loved me that much, you know, because I'm not going to be there to be able to tell them. But they can, they're going to be able to look back at international TV feeds and, you know, and television stations like TBS, TNT, and
Max.
Say, Max now. And they can watch it all back and say, ah, he said that to millions of people.
Yeah.
Imagine what he actually feels inside.
And isn't it funny when you're someone like as famous as you are, and it's like your wife doesn't love you for being a wrestler.
Oh, man.
But she loves the real you, but you are the real you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate
and everything that you do.
Yeah, and, you know, I couldn't be anything other than me. And that was the hardest thing about
being authentic.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing about being in WWE. We were, you know, we were asking for a release for a year and a half, because they wanted us to be something else. And I just couldn't do it. I mean, it was very hard to walk away from the money at the time. Thankfully.
We have to show Paige those sketches of the outfits.
Yeah. Oh, God. I hate to be a dick, but we really got to go.
Okay, we really got to go. Tomorrow night, AEWTix.com. Is that right?
AEWTix.com, Charlotte, Bojangles Coliseum.
Be there.
Be there.
We will be there. All right. Appreciate you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you guys for letting me come on.
Yes, sir.
It.
Anytime. The door is always open. And we'll see you at that tequila bar soon.
Oh, brother, it's down in my house. Let's go.
That's great, too.
We'll take a break and come back more on a Friday show. Another hour's worth. Good morning, everybody.
You're waking up with the Rise Guys Morning Show.
I love the Rise Guys.
Oh, yeah, the Rise Guys in the morning, man. They are hilarious.
This is the Rise Guys Morning Show.